up, yeah.
Good, Senator, it's great to be back.
This halacha by Sai is a little bit dangerous to say. We have the page Kuflamet Beis. Page is Hilchas Niske given Efesh the name. So it says, Hanechnes Lebeis Chaver Gimel. Guy goes into someone's house. I began last time to speak about this. A guy comes into your house without permission. Doesn't have to come into your house, or a guy, you know, came in and doesn't want to leave the house. I remember saying over here, I've been asked this question more than once. A guy, Mishulach, comes and he says, I'm not leaving unless you give me a $3,000 check. And he told me, Mishulach was there, I'm not leaving. So, what can you do? Pialocha. And I heard from someone else. A rabbi came to someone's house and he had an argument. So the guy said, please leave. And the guy didn't want to leave. So Bekitzer, the chiloch is, you're allowed to pick him up and kick him out. If he doesn't want to leave, you're allowed to get a stick and hit him and kick him out. Even that you're allowed to do. So you're allowed to physically grab him and kick him out. There's such a concept which is called Don Udom Dina Denafshe. A person could judge by himself. I mean, take the law into your hands. When a guy comes to your house and he doesn't want to leave, you're allowed to kick him out. Now, what happens? Someone told me this. This is a true story. Someone told me that his uncle came to visit. She tells me that my uncle came to visit my father, and he was very sloppy and didn't listen to house rules and told him, now don't bring food into the room, and she was not listening. And she tells me my father physically kicked out his brother of the house. And in aloha, there's an interesting aloha. Let's say you tell a person, you could use my back house for a month. And the guy moved in, you can't change your mind. He became a shoyl, he was kainit for a month. You borrow something to someone, you can't change your mind. Look, just like I rent a back house to someone for a month, he gave me the money, or he didn't give me the money, made a kinyan, he's going to pay me. The deal is a deal. Just because you don't get along, or it's not your cup of tea, or the law is, you gave him permission to use it for a month. Once he moves in, that's called a kinyan. That means he acquired, it's like he would have given you a down payment for it, and now since he's there, you cannot kick him out. If you made conditions ahead of time. I always tell people, when you rent, if you're in the rental business and you rent something out, make a condition before they move in. A lady called me up today, all annoyed. I said to the lady, it looks like you're a new landlord, because you have to make conditions before they move in. Once the guy moved in, anyway, so this is the halacha. If a guy comes into your house, he doesn't want to leave, you're allowed to kick him out. The Mesarahut says, Yesh Matirim. I don't know why the Rav says only Yesh Matirim. Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to. Yesh Matirim for Lahakoisoi. Take a bat and hit him. Get out and swing the bat at him. You have a right to kick him out of your house. If there is no other way, you have to try to find the easiest way to kick him out. Anything that works, but you're allowed to hit him. So even though there's an issa to hit someone, we learned last time, you're not allowed to hit a Jewish person, can't hit. But if a guy refuses to leave your house and you ask him to leave, and the only way to do it is by hitting him, you're allowed to hit him. Someone once asked me, he wanted to, also a guy did one of these stories, this was a homeless, decided not to leave. So he asked me, can he use, what the police use, what do they use? Pepper spray. I said, anything that helps you kick him out.
How does this apply to the inner soul?
Oh, yeah. A shul, it depends what a guy does. A shul is a public thing. If a guy is doing something, you don't want him to sleep in the shul, right? We have this problem, you have the problem, we have this problem. People do this, want to sleep. You have a right to kick him out. Pick him up and kick him out. It's not made to sleep. That's it.
Someone
is... Well, now the truthful is, it's the whoever, it's like a mayor, and a mayor of a city has a right to do things. The shul, it's a community. The rabbi or the gabbai has a right to run, you need someone to run the shul. And you need someone who disturbs, I'm not talking even, we have a guy who's not well. I remember many years ago, a guy not well came into our shul. He had a breakdown, he was just screaming. So I said, just take him out. Just take him out of the shul. The shul is made to daven, not a guy who thinks that you could go, express his craziness in the shul. I mean, that's what it is. So you'll have to hit him if he doesn't want to leave. I mean, many years ago, in the cradle next to me over there, they called the police and had a guy arrested. He was really out of control.
Is that considered less severe or more severe than
hitting him? Well, we couldn't hit him. He was a bull. They were afraid. He was very strong, so they called the police.
So it's more severe.
Even the police had to taser him. Imagine that. Even they couldn't grab hold of him. He was
That's a good question. But many times, calling the police, you're not going to get in trouble and sent to jail. You might just be taken, maybe psychiatric examined.
So sure, you're doing him a favor. You're doing very often.
Less severe than hitting?
Yeah, you're doing him a favor. Even when someone Nebuch is not well, you're doing a great mitzvah by calling the police and have them taken to. That's for sure. If they take him to the hospital emergency room and they. Same upon same thing.
Yeah,
the guy, it's yours. You have a right to ask him to leave, and he doesn't want to leave. You have a right to kick him out. Hit him. I had the question. I'd never found a good answer. How hard are you allowed to hit him? Let's say you hit him with. Yeah, what happened? There are stubborn people. You give him one zet, he's not going to go. But he maybe. You have a bat. And you're striking him. He doesn't want to leave. Yeah, but let's say he doesn't want to budge. He's sitting there. I am not moving. You have these interesting people. Chabad has their shears too, but I should also. Guy doesn't want to budge. Are you allowed to hit him till you break a leg? That's my. I don't know. How hard are you allowed to hit him? He refuses to leave. The truth is, legally, you better not hit him, right? Because the police could. He finds a complaint against you, even if it's in your possession. Yes, even he's in your house, I was told. He could file this. No, but you're not allowed to hit him. You have to call the authorities. That's what I was told. I have not to know the legal laws, but someone told me once this. Is that true?
Not necessarily. Because it depends how he got in the house. If he was invited in the house, then yeah, you probably have to call the authorities. So if some guy walks in the house,
you
can check
your residence. Yeah, usually he's invited. The mashuluch is invited. Now he doesn't want to leave.
So this whole lot doesn't change.
It doesn't make a difference. It means even he came with his shoes, but now he doesn't want to leave. That doesn't make a difference. He came in, he's there, now please leave, and he wasn't leaving. You get that? Okay. Look, the Philokrit Mashiach, Chemishesh the Meshudas. A person has a Meshudas. This is based on a Braise. He has a servant, a Jewish maid, whatever. Chemishesh Yignu Meni. He suspects that is stealing. I tell people the housekeepers always steal. Really, that's just part of it. I always tell my wife when things disappear, that's the price of a housekeeper. Before the finish is that mount, the mesarev lot says he doesn't want to leave. You have a Jewish worker, doesn't want to leave, and you have enough chashad, enough suspicion that the person is stealing, you'll have to hit him. So you're allowed to protect your property. To hit him, then he leaves. You know, I think I mentioned last time, someone once told me that a guy, he told the person he could use his son's bike. And he called, it was just for a few days, he calls him up, and his son was in camp, send him to the East Coast. He calls him up, and can you bring the bike back? It was just for a few days. He doesn't answer, calls and leaves another message. This guy went to the house, opened the, slipped out the gate, and took the bike, and so it's interesting, the guy calls me up. The guy who borrowed the bike, imagine what he did. He came into my, took my bike. I always know there's no side. He took your bike? What's this, the guy just took it? No, I borrowed it. And let's hear his side of the story. Then he says, well, why does he need it now? People have a certain way of, it doesn't make a difference. He said you can use a few days. It's none of your business. It's no one's business.
He's coming to you thinking he's going to say no.
Right. I don't know what he wanted. He was just standing with the chutzpah. And I said in a very nice way, see, as a Rav, when people come to me, I always know, I want to teach you all, there's always another side of the story. Always. Even if your wife tells you a story, there's another side of the story. Well, with my wife, I say, I have to agree with my wife because I have to calm her down. But I know there's another side of the story. Every story, there's two sides. No one, so when a guy comes to you and he says to you, then you have to, guy just stole the bike from you, what happened? But anyways, he had a right, a pitoida, he had a right to go into the house. Even more, he's allowed to break the door down if he knows you have an object he doesn't want to return. Halachically, the only way to get this guy just,
But this is only if it's your object.
My object.
Not if he owes you money.
No, that's your object. We owe money, we said you're not allowed to take. You're not allowed to take a collateral. But here, it's your bike, it's your watch, your gemara. There was a story, someone told me that a shoe borrowed from another shoe, Sefer Torah, only for Simchas Torah. And they've been calling them, return the Sefer Torah, So I said to the guy, halachically, I'll break down the door, but you don't have to do it. Just hang out in the shul, go to the shul and walk over. No one, the rule is you walk, you act like you're confident, you walk through, take the Sefer Torah, no one's going to say anything to you. Just do it. That's exactly what happened. Came to shul, the rabbi wasn't there, he walked up, took the Sefer Torah, no one said anything, and left. But, halachically speaking, he was allowed to do that too. If he couldn't do it, break the door down the whole day and just take the Sefer Torah out.
You said that if he owes you money, you are allowed to.
We spoke about that. If he owes you money, you're not allowed to go into his house. If he leaves the tefillin in the shul, you can. He leaves it on the desk, but you can't go into his house. Right? And your object, you're allowed to go into his house to take the object away. You speak up, what?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, if it's your object. No, if he owes you money, you can't go into the business. You could, nothing, you have to call him to a court, call him to din Torah. Can't not go into someone's house or grab something out of his hand if it's not your job just because he owes you money. But you can, if his talus and tefillin is laying on the table in the shul, not in his home, you can pick up his talus and tefillin. You could,
Yeah. Someone
then it's okay. I was at a bris. The first time this happened, I was at a bris in someone's house, and a guy comes over to me, asks me at the bris that he wants to take the talus and tefillin with someone. It was someone else's house. A guy, was renting an apartment from him, left with $600, and he always, he paid his rent. He still owed him $600. He always, the check is in the mail. The check is in the mail, and I said to him, he wanted to know if I'm allowed to take talus and tefillin. He's not going to be a tefillin. He says, that's your headache. You're allowed to take the talus and tefillin. Now, people are worried because if he doesn't have tomorrow, he'll borrow. If it doesn't matter, it's not your headache. You're allowed to take the talus and tefillin. This guy was very nervous. He left a note. That's why I got into trouble. The rabbi said, I'm allowed to take the talus and tefillin. And he wrote him, I don't get paid, then. And he paid him. It's interesting. He did pay him. No, hits the money. If you're allowed to take, if it's your object, you're unknown. Take away something out of his hands, you can't take out of his hands.
No, if someone is in someone else's property, are you allowed to hit?
No, the owner is allowed to.
But not
the owner.
Can the owner make you a slave?
No.
Ed Barbera.
You're not allowed to take something out of someone's hand.
If it's yours.
You did on it.
You did it?
Yeah. You're not allowed to take his drama from his head. But you were upset and you saw him and you grabbed it. Now it's not on his head. Now it's in your hand.
Yeah, you don't have to give it back. You don't have to give it back.
You do not have to give it back. That's
no, now you're holding a mashkin. That's a collateral. If you grabbed it as a collateral.
So I did a bad thing by taking it.
Yeah. But now you don't have to give it back.
What's the recourse for that action?
Okay.
Okay. Oh, but that's
yeah. Yeah, but you're allowed to. I told someone, a Chabad person who was a rabbi, someone owes him $3,000, who knows how long. I told him, and the guy comes to the mikveh, takes a shtramel, take the shtramel. He tells me, I can't do it. Always I marveled at this thing. You know, the guy could do an avla, do something wrong and not pay you for who knows how long. But if you want to do the right thing, you have a right to take a shtramel. I can't do it. I don't know, there's always people, comes to these things are turned upside down. I can't do it, take a shtramel. So don't worry, next Shabbos you can have the money. I'm telling you. You'll see, he'll deliver you the money. I've told people, one of the ways you get your money paid, I told someone to knock on someone's door and tell him he owes you the money. If he doesn't have the money, please give me your wife's jewelry. And I told him to do it a few times, and the guy paid up quickly.
And it doesn't matter whether you can theoretically have a shliach to report you, and they say,
yeah, you're allowed. That's a tov slab, only if he doesn't owe the whole world money. Yeah, he could do it for you. Yeah, if he gives it to you, it's a tov slab, a person grabs something from someone who he owes a lot of people money. That he's not koina, but he's allowed to do it. That's called that's a whole sugya. That's a whole different complaint. But yes, he could tell a guy, take the shtramel and give it to me. Goy, these things don't apply. No, don't really eat. Only a yid. The goy is a whole different story. Goy, you're allowed to grab it out of his hands. You're allowed to.
No, I meant the
whole. Yeah, I'm talking about a yid. Strictly a yid. You're the prosecutor or the defendant? Okay. But you have to speak up. I don't hear.
To make it simple, someone drops some money, okay? Someone else picks it up and they don't want to give it back. Now we're talking about money, but it's the actual thing. Okay? Can you treat it like property or can you treat it like money?
Well, he dropped it and it's his and he doesn't want to give that person back.
Person drops money. Someone comes by and picks it up. And the person who dropped it,
yeah, I mean, that's his money.
Like money or like property?
It's property. The money is property.
No, but it's
property.
The money, you're not going to grab back that money. He's not going to grab back
right,
that money.
Later on.
Going to grab back
the
money.
The question is.
No, so this money. This, he's going to grab back this money, but is it considered like. You said the money you have to be spent for it. You can't be so aggressive with it. Property, can you grab
that? That's what you want to know. What happens if. This guy was a gun, if you mean.
Yeah. Which?
He picked up the money, he was a gunner.
The guy who picked it up, yeah.
So that's a whole different case. A guy steals money. Yes, but well, he steals money. The kitzer. What happens? A thief stole your money. Money, you can't tell whose money it is. But if you know for sure it's that money, I'm almost sure it says a Shechon Aruch, if you know clearly this is your bag of money, you're allowed to grab it away, if you know that. Okay. I just want to say, I know people listen to this. I've got phone calls even. You know, not everything I say is 100% when people ask me questions. You know, I would have to, but this I'm quite sure it says in Shulchan Aruch, but someone asked me once, where did I, you know, not always do I remember exactly the place. And okay, let's move on. Chenim, chavede buliv zomein eiv chefes. The guy stole an object, shver gozer ishu let silem a yudoi. Allowed to take it out of his hands. V'al de yakua. That's what we say. Let's say the guy, you want to take back your bike. The guy doesn't want to give it to you. You're allowed to hit him to get back the bike, the object. I don't have to call him to court. I don't know how the legal guys, you guys are lawyers, how it works. If a guy has my object clearly, the bike, I am allowed, and he doesn't want to give it back, and the only way to get it back is hitting him, you allowed to hit him? That was always my question. If I hit him hard enough, he'll break a leg. I mean, the bike is how much it's worth, a second-hand bike, you know? What did you say?
He won't prosecute.
Yeah, but I'm saying theory. Yeah, but in theory, I'm just saying that your authority says if the only way to get your bike back is to hit him, I don't have to take him to Besdin. That means you're allowed to take the law in your hands when it's your object clearly. Okay, so the rabbi. Usel hakas es chaveiru. You're not allowed to hit your friend if you know he's in a shisla kaisoi. Even he gives you permission to hit you. You can't tell someone, you know, give me a slap me. You're not allowed to do that. People don't know this. You are not the owner of your body. And you can't tell someone, please hit me. Just for the fun of it, you know, punch me. You know what I mean? He says, that's, people have asked this question to me often. The rab is very machmas, soon see about it. But are you allowed to be a boxer? I know there must be a Jewish boxer from boxer.
Two of them.
There's two already.
Yeah,
I only hear from the young teenagers. Yeah, one of the teenagers are busy. But he gives the other guy permission to hit him. Yes. Yes. No. Right.
But it's different than they're obviously talking about here, where you're just hit, but this is livelihood.
But soon see that a big machloek is, if this is your livelihood, you're allowed to do it. Soon see that a big machloek is this. Right, football, not any sport. You know, football is made to hit the guy, but not basketball is not made to hit. Football, I plan to knock you over head first. I mean, that's what the game is. I don't know how to play football. All I know is that everyone's piling top of each other, but that's what it is. I mean, so there's a big machlokes. The Rav later is Mesupik. We'll soon see later in a minute. Anyways, let's, in a minute, you'll see inside. Machlokes the Mashal and the Shulchan Aruch Rav and the Chronim have Mesupik, what it means. We'll soon see this. But anyways, you have no permission to tell a person to hit you. And another chiddush, loy levayishoy. You cannot tell a person to embarrass you. He says, loy letzar v'shim tzar, any pain, afilah b'mnis ezamach amishta. Very interesting. You're not allowed to hold back food and drinking, if you know, for just because I want to, not because I want to do tshuva, not because I want to be more holy. I just want to, there are people who, there's a name for this, when people try to.
Anorexia.
No, but people try to hurt themselves. What is it? Has it masochist? Now people like to hurt themselves. So I'm not eating, not because I want to elevate my soul, and I just want to be masochistic. Elim can oisa b'derech tshuva, unless you do it for tshuva. You want to be a better person. Shetzar ze toiv yoloi, this is a pain. Lahatzel nafshoi mishachas. If you do it for tshuva, then you're allowed to. And there's a famous rav in the Tanya too. I'm sure I don't have to. But to remind you, the Tanya says, and the Shulchan Aruch Rav, and the Tanya says that even though you're not supposed to give more than 20% to tzedakah, for tshuva, you're allowed to give more than 20%. That when Chazal says choymish, so the same idea, he says, you're allowed to, anything you do for tshuva, you're allowed to do. Chamit les ames, the tshuva, fil mishen yuchal les ames. Even if it's difficult to fast, you're allowed to fast for tshuva. And mish yuchal les ames, mitr, even that you're allowed to do if he does it let's say he's not doing it for tshuva, he wants to be spiritual, then it's also okay, you're allowed to do it. That's the biggest thing. But not to eat for masochism is an isser d'oraisa. I mean, you don't want, you know, you want to hurt yourself, and even if you tell someone, please insult me, you know, you're not allowed to do it. Same emotion, you're not allowed to cause emotional pain. Yes. Well, weight is not healthy. He's not allowed to have a lot of weight. It's the other way around. She's not allowed to just for if, you know, we live in a crazy society. So certain girl, I have a house full of daughters. I know. So sometimes, but very often it's in the head. But if she's overweight, and today boys don't want to have a girl that's just a little slightly overweight, she's allowed to go on a diet. Getting married is very important. Being attractive for a man is for a girl is very important. If that is going to make it look good, then she's allowed to go on a diet. But just for the, you know. Okay. Then Shulchan Aruch says, Chemit el hakas bunav v'ketanim. You're allowed to hit your children.
When they're young.
A filler. We live in a society, I think, certain places, I was told in Australia, you could be arrested for hitting your child. So someone told me once. And, but.
If you're often, you can get arrested for hitting
your
child. Yeah? Oh, yeah.
If you're abused, but you give him a smack in the behind, you could get arrested too. Are you serious?
It depends who the DCFS worker
is. But, yeah, this is crazy. Bapi Toida, it's perfectly okay to discipline your child. Chamit la hakas buna v'ktan. Shlomo Melech says, "Choshech shiftei son is benoi." Holding back a rod from your children is the end of you're going to hate them. Children are not disciplined, turn into monsters. You know, literally monsters. So you chamit la hakas buna v'ktan. For the shloim b'shul chinuch toyre mitzvahs, not just to do mitzvah. The adrichem derech eretz, to teach them, you know, respect. Children, Now this is very, very important. I know your young parents, many of you, and often you come home, you have a rough day, and you let it out on your children. And you say, no, chas v'shalom. Your wife says, why are you annoyed with the children? You say, I'm not annoyed, the children are misbehaving. You know that you're giving them because you had a rough day. That's the worst thing to do. I never disciplined my children if I was in a bad mood. I would get it from my wife. Why did you say something? But, you know, I learned it doesn't help. The children pick up quickly. After I calm down and I was in a better mood, then I would tell them. Because you're not allowed to hit a child just because you're frustrated. And people do it all. That is a Issa Daraisa. It means you have to hit them knowing it's good for them. Not because you had a rough day, and you're letting it out on them. So, because it's there in your rishus, so you're allowed to, you have to discipline them. But you're not allowed to hit someone else's child. Someone once asked me that has a neighbor, and the child is a terror. And the parents don't discipline him. And he hits everyone. You know, small children, this guy's, and the parents don't say it, the parents laugh. So I said to him, you're not allowed to hit him. I said to him, but give him a good swing. Oh. And he told me it worked. He walked over to the child, the 5-year-old child, and said, you ever gonna hit my children, I'm gonna beat you up. You know what I mean? Really frightened. The child stopped. And, that you could do, but you're not allowed to hit him. Hit someone.
You can't do, but could you, let's say, physically bring them over to their parents?
Yeah, you can pick them up and bring them up, yeah.
Could a parent,
that happened.
You're the guy, I was saying.
Could a parent give someone else the right to hit their child?
No.
A rabbi?
A rabbi's allowed to, yes. It says in Shulchan Aruch
Mefurish.
And a rabbi is only allowed to hit a child, because Shulchan Aruch says it clearly, with a small strap. And not only once or twice, I had rabbis who hit me, and I had rabbis who were Holocaust survivors and let the frustration out on us, and which is a terrible thing. But Shulchan Aruch says how rabbis are. And the truth is, a rabbi in class, there's other ways of punishment. Today there's I see from old children teacher, take a minus and put him stand in the corner, you don't have to put on a dunce cap, it works just as good.
Does it matter if it's a boy child, a real child, a daughter,
or yeah, it doesn't make a difference. Child, dog, I have girls has to be disciplined too. And it's, that children who grow up in a non-disciplined parents, a whole life are angry at the parents for not disciplining them. So No one told him. He grew up in a house, his parents would never discipline him. Till today, he's angry. Because the children go out of control, but they want you to control them. They want you to discipline them. They want to be disciplined. Okay. In Yiddish, one of the most powerful disciplining is, my father used to use it on, I don't know how to say it in English, so if you could translate it in English, in Yiddish, my father says, it's a past nicht.
Unbefitting.
I don't know, that was the most harsh word I heard from my father over Shalom. He would say to us, past nicht. You know what that means? It's a very powerful thing. You tell your child, I expected you so much more, why are you disappointing me? That, in Yiddish, that's what it means. It's a very powerful... No, your father never used it? Oh, didn't use this expression?
Only after.
It's a very powerful... It's, in Yiddish, it's a very, very powerful expression. And it tells the child, I expect a lot more from you, and you are disappointing me. That's what it means.
Yeah.
I'm saying it is very, very powerful. If you say it in a loving way, it's a very powerful way of disciplining. You know, I always tell people it's much easier to criticize than to compliment. It's always that way. It's much easier to criticize your children. I always tell young men, when I give the chassid shmus to the guys who get married, I always tell them the day you're going to compliment your wife as much as you criticize her, you'll be a great husband. And the day you're going to compliment with the same passion you criticize, you'll be a great, great husband. Our compliment never comes with the same passion as we criticize. I always tell people, you know, you buy from a card from Hallmark, you know, it says, you know, the compliment is very short. Your criticism, you know, Hallmark doesn't make cards of criticism. My criticism is a longer Megillah. I can't say a word. Second of all, I don't have time to go to the store. I go to the store to be angry. I do have to do it now. And, you know, say thank you, I love you. I could ready you next week. I go shopping. I get a car. When you're angry, when you want to shoot right now. Isn't it amazing? That means the negative has a much more powerful effect inside it. It's much, much stronger, the negativeness that we have. Okay, Chemit and Hakiz, when I finish, he says, he had the usage of raising a Yosim, you're also allowed to discipline. The Rambam says, he doesn't bring it down, the Rabbah, but the Rambam does say that a Yosim, you have to be special careful. Even though you're allowed to hit him, you have to be super careful when you discipline a Yosim. Yosim means an orphan.
This is when you're like a foster parent or adopted,
right? Or adopted, you know. The child, no, adopted doesn't mean from birth. Here we're talking about from... I use them. Someone who lost his father and you know, raising them or whatever it is. Yes.
Does it mean if the kid still has a mother?
Yes, even he has a mother.
So the mother remarries.
Whatever the mother remarries, or he's staying by your house for the summer and anything like that. You know, a child who loses a parent, I spoke to children who grew up without a parent, is a hole in their heart. I've spoken to many Yisraelim, and they told me, you know, just curious, what does it really mean? They really feel less. It's not just even children from divorced homes also feel that way.
Right?
Both. It's not the same. But under
the din
of a yosim. No, but the din of a yosim. The din of a yosim. You know, my brother said when I said shiva 5 years ago, first time my father was 91 years old. So, my brother, who's a grandfather, many, many times said, I just became a yosim at the age of 60.
Yeah.
Came an offering. He said offering. But the truth is that there's a mistake. The Rambam says, and Shulchan Aruch says, a yosim has only the halacha till he's not old enough to take care of his things. Once he's mature enough to take care of themselves, it doesn't have a din of an offering. You know, I mean, that's an 18, 19 year old. You know, we expect them to move on in life. Even though inside their heart they're broken. You know, a child who grew up without a parent, inside feels broken. But it doesn't matter. In halacha, once you reach maturity where a person could take care of themselves, that disappears. It doesn't have that halacha v'yosam. Okay. If your children are listening to you, Even though it's not so important for them. I mean, you know, yeah, anyone who has a big family knows, not always do I tell them I get annoyed with my children because it's good for them. They you didn't do your chores. And you didn't wash the dishes. You know, who says they have to wash the dishes? You know, they could say, I don't want to wash the dishes. You know, anyone who has children, you know, it's not my turn, it is my turn, and I didn't. Not me, you know, anyone else has, I have, can I know how to, many children and many daughters, and this was the most, we had to, when they were growing up, we had to have a chart, you know what I mean, whose night it was. But you're allowed to, the reason is very simple, because you can't run a household this way. Every child needs to do, you know, you just can't. It doesn't have to be bedavka, you know, for the der chinuch. You'll learn a big household, one child is in charge washing dishes, one child is in charge of drying the dishes, one child is doing dishes, whatever, the shopping. That you also allow to discipline them for them to run a household. You're not allowed to hate a child for no reason. Something because, you know, my guy once told me that his mother used to hit him because his mother was determined that he should become a musician. A musician has to play piano, he's got to play, and he would get petched. You know, he lived in Vienna, he was this Yekisha, you know, and his mother used to hit him on his knuckles, and he still remembers that. Imagine a grown man of 65 years old, he told me he still remembers that. And he still has anger about it. But there's no heter for that. Just because you want your child to excel in an Irish guy, he was not interested in playing music. You know, so this is what the Rav is saying, is you're not allowed to. You want him to join something that they want. You can't hit him for that. Become an artist, you know, like often parents do. Today we're more educated, but parents used to do. They wanted their kuvvet is in the child. You know what that means? That means their ego and their honor. Oh, my son the doctor, my son the lawyer, you know, my son the musician.
There
is yeshiva. Or the shliach. You know, it is. There is. Yeah, it is. Okay, so the Rav says in Mishor Soi, if he has his Mishor, it's a fellow Einish Mei Bekoilo, even though he doesn't listen to his Usala Koisoi, Ekim Evid Kanani, very interesting aloha. When Evid Kanani applied, you know what Evid Kanani, it means a slave. When slavery was, if a slave did not do his job, you were allowed to hit him. And the Rambam says, the Rambam says, don't hit them. Even though Al-Tayri says, the Rambam says, you have to give respect to a slave. The Rambam is very interesting. But Api Alucha, you're not over the Issa. Now listen to this. This is fascinating what we're going to learn now. In the times of Chazal, in the times of the Rishonim, people would work with someone else. I used to read this in storybooks, and I never understood it. When I learned Chosh Mishpat, I found out. This was a mini. You were hiring someone, and you made a deal. If you don't do your job, I'm allowed to hit you. You hear this? I hire you to be my driver. The wagon driver. And we made up. If you don't show up on time, I'm allowed to hit you. You're allowed to hit him, as long as he doesn't quit the job. He could say, you want to hit me? I quit. But if he doesn't want to quit, we made up. Because the Rav is going to explain.
Panosa. But it's not the purpose. The purpose is that you're going to do the job. Hitting is a byproduct.
Yeah, but look what. So what? So why is he allowed to? So the Rav says, "Im hisne imoy makes a condition with chiller. Kishisoch v'shirishul akoysoy. He makes a condition with him. I'm allowed to hit you. Kishelo yishma bekoyloy. If he doesn't listen to you." My Ellis Nesines Rishisov Oile Tavusik Deshi Iskeruhu. The Rav says, the guy says, if I can't hate you, I'm not going to hire you. Can you imagine? That's what you used to have those days. If I cannot hate you, so he's allowed to give him permission. But he could say to him in a minute, Mikobokoin, the Rav says, Mchoseboy Amishuris Mitnah, he changes his mind. He says, I don't want you to hit me, and I'll let him hit him. He's late for work. Don't hit me. You could, since you could quit right then and there, and there's another reason. Let me tell you the second reason what he says. You know, there's a person could mikadosh marry a lady and tell her a condition. I don't have to pay you. I don't have to feed you, clothe you, house you. Amanash elo sheir ksis. That means I'm marrying you with a condition. I was sitting once, believe it or not, trying to make a second marriage, and I didn't want to do it, but they both agreed, the husband and wife, and he clearly said, I'm not obligated for your clothing, for you have a good job, it's going to be your obligation, unless you become incapacitated.
He said that not when he gave it
before a prenuptial agreement, so second marriage. And he had children, and he says, you know, I don't know how well. That's the agreement. A person could make such an agreement. Almanas, a condition, that I don't feed you, I don't dress you, and I don't have to give you food. The food you will have to add to the money. But if he says to her, Almanas, I'm not going to be intimate with you, even though she agrees, she could change her mind. Why? The Gemara says, that's Tzara de Gufa. That's physical pain, even though it's being, you know, not being intimate, it's just painful for the woman. So she cannot give up that right.
She can give up, or she can...
No, the Kedushin is Chal, and even though he said, I'm an asnat, she could say, I changed my mind, and either he has to give her the mitzvah, he has to be intimate with her.
But she can agree to that in the first place.
Yeah.
But
even if she agreed, I'm saying, she agreed, tells the husband, I don't need anything. I don't need your intimacy. And she could change her mind. So the Gemara says, why can't you change your mind? Because tzara de gufa, pain on your body, you have no right to give up.
So if a woman like that cheated on her husband, is it, and
that's a roya. She's not allowed to cheat on her husband.
She said it's a retroactive.
No. The
point
is that when the condition is nullified, the condition works.
The condition works. Without the tnai, doesn't make it she's married to him. This lady's married, and even though he made a deal with him, no intimacy. She has a right to change her mind and say, I want intimacy, and he has to give it. But she changed her mind. I want now. You should support me. I don't want to work. He's not mechuyav to support her. If she agreed not to do it for them, he doesn't mechuyav to support her. After I got married, it's worthless.
What?
Prenuptials after you get married is worthless.
Yeah,
it's too late. No, because
for him that was private,
that
she was Muslim, and you know.
She could demand that. Yes,
they
were
private.
Let's say.
She could have come to his wife and said, "No, I want
that." Say this again. What?
What?
I didn't understand the question. Say this again.
For people, don't think you're going to.
No.
The wife was Muslim, and they were private.
And she has the right to change her mind. They got married, and the rabbi says, I don't want to be with you. She has a right to say, if you're not with me, give me a get. And he has to give her a get and pay the ksuba. The Rambam, there's some seif in the tshuva says that if a person is not a Talmud Chacham, a non-Talmud Chacham has to be at least 2-3 times a week with his wife. Talmud Chacham once a week. So once she agreed to be like once a week Shabbos, then he has a big chiddush. But let's say there were the Gedolim who want to be abstained totally. And a woman has a right to say, I don't want. And if he doesn't give her, he's either alive in the Torah. Holding back intimacy from your wife is alive in the Torah. It's not just the Esser. It's like even Chaza. It's like hurting her. It's a nusa le-signal. So, you know, this is very, you know, one of the great things about Torah is that, you know, I always say this to people that you're not always are in the mood, but we do things when the Torah demands us. That saves the marriage. Because if you live in a secular life, I have to be in the mood, and I'm not such a mood, and Torah says you got to do it. You know, if you have to do it, you get into the mood. That's how we are. You know, you don't want to. You know, I sometimes don't. I don't have a big appetite, but once I sit down and start eating, I get an appetite. That's life works that way. Okay. So, she could change her mind. Ve'initan b'chila lumis eli kozman shemachu b'tzoyin al-vad. By oina, this is the halacha. By oina is only when you are moichel. You know, if she forgives, but change your mind, like I explained before. Another halacha. Amavis es chaveidoi. You frighten your friend. You know, many people, children, and you teach this with teenagers, you're not allowed to, you know, scare people. You know what I mean? There's a famous story in Eretz Yisrael where a brother frightened his sister. A very, very famous story. And, you know, they got the police involved and they had a hard time. It was a brother playing a prank on his sister and she miscarried. And the police, you know about the story? It's a very famous story. And the police wanted her, to press charges against the brother. And I only, because people ask me about the story, and the Rav says not, I would have said they should have pressed charges. Because this teenager is going to turn into a monster. He should have paid and sat in jail. He literally frightened the sister and she miscarried. Because sometimes you frighten a person so hard they could miscarry. But it doesn't have to be a lady. You're not allowed to jump out of the dark and say, boo. Many people don't know this. Now, you're not allowed to cause pain. You know, not allowed to act, you know, like any prank which frightens the person. You're not allowed to do this. That's a... Someone once told me that April Fool, his friends came dressed up as police officers and came in, and he didn't chap it was who they were, and arrested him. Put on handcuffs. And he was frightened, didn't know what hit him. I said, they did a terrible, terrible avla. Well, there's no heta because it's April Fool's that to frighten a person out of the wits like that. Okay, Amavis is chaveri kunshitsuik loi. He screamed from the back, Shanella by Fela, jumps out of the dark yard, says, Api Shaput Bdina Udom, Chayev Bdina Shemaim. But the Rav, it doesn't say, it's very not clear. The Rav is mashma that you have to pay monetary loss. The other Chorim say, only if this caused a loss for him. Yeah, the one says, got deaf, the one says, some loss. Just because you frightened him, there's no Dina Shemaim. You know, I mean, you don't have to pay him. If you have a loss of money, he dropped something and it broke, then you have to pay him. You frightened him, he dropped something, you have to pay him.
Isn't this a matter for emotional
money? What?
This is not a matter.
This is direct, right? Now you frightened him, he dropped something.
No, the
Shulchan Aruch says clearly, it has to be some loss of money. Shulchan Aruch said, Al-Tarab is just very serious. Then Shulchan Aruch says it has to be a loss of money. There's no stress, what we call, you know, you quit your job if it's stressful. We live in a very upside down society. If you don't like your job, quit. No one asked you to, you know, someone told me he was paid because he turned the carpal tunnel syndrome and then he got from the through the company. Who asked you to be a computer programmer? They didn't ask you. I mean, appetite is not such a thing. If you get stressed out because of your job, you're an attorney for the government, so you go, don't work for it. You know, every job is stressful. No one asks you to work for that. People have in America like this idea of stress and the Torah says don't work. But even the truth is that even when someone insults someone, then that's the only time, bish, where, you know, to shame someone, it's like a child being molested, the guy has to pay him $1 billion. Because people are molested, shame, a whole their life to walk in shame, I was told.
I don't understand your point about the carpal tunnel. Meaning any work site injury, you could on one hand say, who asked you to be a warehouse schlepper? You decided to do it, you hurt your back, you know, that's your problem. But
that's right.
Maybe this falls under Dinah Machazadina, but the way the law of the land is that as an employer, you have to have workers' comp insurance.
No.
Dina,
the Rambam says, Dinah Machazadina cannot be Midas Saddam. this is, you know, you're working for me, you have to be careful, you will, you weren't careful, it's not my problem. If I, you know, even if I, the floor is not so straight, you saw the floor not straight, don't work here, quit. You know, you're working, you're slapping things, you it's not good for your back, so don't work as a slapper. The Torah doesn't obligate a person. I know we live in America too long. It got into our psyche. Even negligence. What a negligence. You
there's
see.
There's an acceptance when you go to work somewhere, both on the employer side and employee side. When I go to work somewhere, I know my employer has paid special workers' compensation.
He has no choice.
If I get injured,
because he has no choice.
Well, he can.
He has no choice.
Self-insurance.
No, I'm just, there is no choice. No, 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 no.
If I get hurt, you know, he's on the hook for
no,
it.
No, no. He has no choice. He has to do it. He wants to be in business. But I'll be tighter. You're working here. It's a hard job. Don't do it.
So
a woman gave birth and she should sue her husband because, you know, she gave birth.
No,
and,
there's two different things. He's talking about a situation where the one is where, as a result, directly as a result, you do your work in the appropriate manner.
Give him a motion. Give him a motion.
This is it's what the boss says. It's bar, you know, sharp bar.
Yeah, but you're working in the place. You see, there's a bar.
And a box falls down from the shelf and knocks you in the head.
That's something else. Yeah, yeah. But the owner is not mechuyev for that. You know, we like to blame always the owner. Let's say someone else put up the box there, then you have to sue the guy. The guy put the box.
Well, the owner is the one with the insurance.
No, again, I'm saying what the Torah says. Someone literally asked me, a Jewish.
Let me.
It's his pocket when he doesn't come. Of course, it's his pocket.
The difference is not, Rabbi. If I'm suing the owner, I have to go to bed. And if I sue the insurance company, I go to court.
Let me tell you a story. Someone asked me, they're fixing the ladies making our neighborhood. So the ladies' mikveh, it's brand new, it's unbelievable nice. So anyway, so the guy, the contractor is a yid, and he says, I am convinced that the goyim stole some towels from the ladies' mikveh. So he says, do I have to give, he's a very nice guy, he was curious, do I have to give a donation for the ladies' mikveh, they stole towels. So I said to him, you know what the halacha is, if he stole, even though you bought the worker, we all, you know, it doesn't make a difference. The worker has to pay. I will explain. If Zalman Plumbing sends a guy to fix your plumbing, and the guy broke the cabinet, so of course we're going to sue Zalman Plumbing. The Shulchan Aruch says clearly, go after the guy making pay. You cannot go after the owner. Says the Shulchan Aruch, not once and not twice. The Shulchan. Same thing. See, we live in a. If a guy put on a box over there, not well, so the guy put it up, he's responsible.
But there's a concept that I'm relying on you to have hired a normal worker.
Doesn't make it. Doesn't.
It doesn't. I don't know about plumbing.
Doesn't make a difference.
Expect,
it doesn't make a difference. The guy made a mistake. He's a good plumber. The guy. I sent the plumber. He didn't break with the bedavka. He broke the cabinet. The din is, the Shulchan Aruch says you cannot sue him. Go after the guy. Take the guy to court. Whoever did it.
If I took him to work to court, the court will say you have to sue the owner.
I'm just saying in halacha. So you can't, it doesn't
so
make it.
You're saying there's no remedy.
There is no remedy. You make up with him. Yes, you could, if you want, speak up and say, when the plumber is coming, I want to know if he breaks something, are you responsible or not? And he says, I'll be responsible and it's okay. That's no problem. But I'm just saying in halacha, this people ask me all the time. The guy delivered the freezer and broke the cabinet. You know, the Yiddish company had, he didn't deliver the freezer, it's a Jewish company who the... It's not it.
You have to find out if the owner of the company is Jewish to know whether or not you can...
Well, you don't have to find out, you could assume. I'm saying what the halacha is.
What do you do? If you have a Jewish, something?
If you don't know he's Jewish, you could assume he's not Jewish.
But if you're using the JV movie...
It says, you should know, movers. It
know
says in the contract, he breaks it, he pays it. Do you know that?
That's
it says very clearly. Usually, movers says it's whatever you make up. And you know, we if you make up, then the guy becomes obligated. I'm just saying in halacha, Of course, the land, you know, if you work with a non-Jew, so the land of the law. But if one Jew to another Jew, the land of the law doesn't work that way.
Can we say that today's society has accepted that?
No. If a guy wants to pay, he's glad. The guy's, I don't want to pay you. If a guy wants to pay, you're allowed to take the money. But I'm saying if a guy doesn't want to pay, that's what we're talking about. Speak up.
If someone has a business in America today, knows that if their employee breaks them, they're going to become responsible in the court. Why would I have to make up a separate agreement? Everybody knows this is how business is done today.
But it doesn't become... if you say the way you're saying it, that everyone knows that we hire a plumber, that's not true. Not always is that way. Plumber happens to be, I was told, but it's not everything works that way. No, I was told not. If it's accepted in a case when everyone knows, then it's like you made a condition with the guy.
Okay.
If this is accepted and everyone knows, this is the famous question about rent control. Not everyone knows all the deals of rent controls. You know, you have to speak to people. Some people, it's always not clear. And in things that they themselves don't know. I remember many years ago, I called up the insurance company about the Blue Shield. I forget, it was Blue Cross, Blue Shield. I wanted to ask if they pay. And the lady said, of course not. Then I called them, of course yes. And after the third one, I got a third answer. They don't know themselves. You know. And many of these things, you know, people don't know themselves. But something that's accepted, clearly, everyone... But I never thought something else. When I send the worker, I accepted it. The guy got injured. What did I accept? I don't have to pay injured. No, let me explain something. There's a link missing. If I hire a plumber, I call Zalman Plumbing, and I'll tell Zalman, the guy's going to do the job, break something. Are you going to pay me? So he has to pay. He took a responsibility sending this guy, whatever happens, and his responsibility, it's like he became a shoimer by sending. There's a kinyan shmir, a kinyan. Let's say the guy is coming, and guy's working for you, and he walks into your office and he slips. I think a wheelchair, the floor can get wet too, and he slips. Well, why should you have to pay him? But he didn't send him to fix plumbing. He was a schlamazel and a slip.
Well. When I hired him, he said to me, hey,
even if he said to you,
sure,
I want to tell you,
if I ever get hurt on the job,
you don't have to pay him. You don't, even if you made up, you don't have to pay him. There's nothing chal, there's no chalois. I say to him, if anything happens at work, you're going to pay me. Why you become obligated? You have to have a kinyan. I don't know if you show a kinyan work, I have to look this up. But just by saying is not chal. Saying, I'm telling you, you could work in my office, but if a brick falls out or someone comes crashing in and someone slips and anything happens, I will pay you. Even he said it, he signed it. It's worth 10 of your Shulchan Aruch. There's no kinyan. There's no shibit. When a guy working, and I say to him, when you're working this, if you break something else, you're going to pay for it. You send your workers, so there's a damage over here. And then this built on that, and Shulchan Aruch says there's a chiv. But just like I tell someone, I'm taking you as a moil. I could change my mind. I don't want to take you as a moil. I'm going to buy insurance by you. Tomorrow I could say I'm not buying insurance by you. Yes. No. You don't have an obligation. He wants to be safe. Check it out. You come working with someone. You didn't know. He didn't know.
He knew it was a dangerous situation.
No, I didn't know.
And that's his case. Yeah. Why is it more your obligation than his obligation?
I mean, all the big asbestos cases back in the day, no, they didn't know what
that doesn't. I'm explaining. And that's the secular law is midas adam, because both people didn't know and they're still suing the company. No one knew it was dangerous. When the asbestos was around, I don't know the bar was around, but let's say your case, both didn't know. Why? You want to work here? You want to make sure it's healthy? Check it out as much as I do. The Torah is built that you are responsible for yourself. That's the Torah. Now you could make the guy responsible, but just by saying that, like he said, even if you made up, you work in my office, and if something happens, or the brick falls out, or someone paints on your lap, and anything, and, you know, when you have electric shock, I'll pay you. Even that is worthless. But there's no shibud. There was.
The shibud, if you make it a part of the employment.
No, no. Sorry, yeah, what did you just say?
If it was signed contract,
if it's signed contract, what makes the obligation? You have to
part of my payment, you're my employee, part of my payment, me paying you, is that you get hurt, I'm also going to pay for your damage medical.
You work for me, I'm paying you. That's it. But it's not, I don't think it's chal. Yeah, it has to be, even if you made a kinyan, it's called kinyan dvar balma. It's like an asmachta. If something would happen, I'll pay you. So I don't think it's chal. I'll look it up next. By next week, I'll look it up again more. But even a transaction, writing a contract, even I'm not sure. I have to look it up because it's like a real and asmachta. That I said to you, like I'm saying to
you. Really
yeah, but if it happens, I'll pay you. If always the if when something happens, there's always an asmachta. It's a real asmachta.
It's as a result of negligence of the owner. He left.
It's not the owner. What's my saying? That whoever left it, that's a bot.
Right, right. But if we left it, we don't know who left it. And it's a banana peel.
Yeah, so. Why is the owner of the shibbet?
He has
no responsibility. He has no responsibility. Tori says the one who left the banana peel, just because it's in your house, he has no responsibility.
But the whole point about smart, I thought, is that you don't think it will ever really happen.
No, yeah, you also don't think. About Daniil, do you? Daniil, one second. One second, do you any accident happened in your father's business for the last 20 years?
Has anything ever happened?
No. Baruch Hashem. I don't think so. No one thinks things are going to happen. We always hope the best. We do know, as a rule, in 100 businesses, this thing would happen. But everyone thinks, Baruch Hashem.
I'll give you a better example. In the nursing home business, okay, they know people get hurt working there all the time. Guaranteed. But talk to any of your Balabatas.
No. You know that people get less hurt today. You know why? Miracles happen because the CCTV all over. All of a sudden, less hurt. They kill me. The nursing home business tell me. All of a sudden, I'm less happened. They put up this. It's very inexpensive to put it up. And there's no more workers' comp insurance to go fly through the roof. You know why? Because no one was there. One guy told me that he told his cook. You know, there's a CCTV. The guy, a few weeks later, looks around and was looking, sits down on the floor and starts crying. I fell down. And he played the CCTV on him. I'm explaining, forget that. I mean, the truth is that even if people get hurt, you know what I mean, that doesn't, because they're schlamazel. Most often, it's not the boss's fault. They didn't look around, this worker. But coming back, normally it's called an asmachta. The asmachta means, if something happens to you, I'll pay you. That's a real asmachta. If something is going to happen, I will pay you.
How about a soldier in an army, a soldier who's drafted, is that not by their own volition?
What does that have to do with one?
So no, so it's not their choice to be a soldier or not be. So if they get hurt in their army service,
the government has the right to do whatever they want. They want to pay Gesundheit.
Yeah, but they don't have volition.
What? Well, that's a whole different. The government works on different halacha, different laws, whole different way.
Going to non physical damage, but monetary. Which I think is a good example. The one that came to mind is simple. Somebody's just laid off. Can a Jew file for unemployment?
Yeah, you're allowed to repay. You pay unemployment insurance. Yeah, that's not the problem that you can't file. Let's say the guy didn't have insurance. Let's say Daniil in his business, he would not have insurance.
And he sells insurance.
Yes. You know, they say a shoemaker doesn't have shoes. He sells, and something happens there, and he didn't have, so you're suing him. He can't sue him. You know what? Let me tell you an interesting story happened. This guy told me Muncie. The guy in Muncie was it was ice. Everyone knew there was ice. It was one of these icy days. But he was walking to his friend's house. And they didn't have it. No one had it. It was just No one had a chance to push the snow. It was ice. But he just walked and he slipped and he broke his hip. He was in the hospital. No. He sued the owner. Now, the owner didn't want to give him insurance. And it was a big thing tighter. I mean, who asked you to walk in the ice? But illegally, he has to pay him.
No, New York has a law.
I'm just saying in the court. No. What do you say? Yes, a day. And a case. I'm telling you a case. Yankee, I don't know the details. I don't live in New York. But this case, the insurance company told them, you are obligated. They were not going to pay. He didn't want to give him the insurance name. He was holding tight about it. So I'm saying, now, it sounds like, you know, this is where the secular law is strange of strange. Who asked you to walk in the ice? Everyone knew there was it's a bad weather. Why should the owner have to pay you? Because he walked up my driveway. Who asked you to walk in ice? And everyone knew it was ice. I'm just saying, you see how things get, what's the right word? Distorted.
It's a whole different mindset. It's socialism. They just want to figure
Yeah, but this is disturbing. This is being irresponsible. He is irresponsible for walking there. The Torah does say, Torah says, you are responsible to look where you're walking. That's what the Torah says. A person, when it comes out of the Moscone, a person has to watch where he's walking. And if you didn't watch where you're walking, you walk into someone's house, there's toys on the floor, and you trip, he doesn't have to pay you. You know the walking to the house with the children, there could be toys all over.
And so you know your faucet's broken, but you don't tell the guy your faucet's broken. So when I go in and I turn on the faucet, I get hurt. I'm saying if I know something as an owner or a resident, but I don't
Api Torah.
By anybody, and they can't protect against that.
Yeah, Api Torah, he doesn't have to pay Api Torah. That's a whole different halacha. That means I was by Grumma being quiet, it's Dina Shemayim would have to pay him, not Dina Uda. It means Dina Shemayim wants to know a case where I don't speak up and I could have spoken up and saved them from loss. Dina Shemayim would have to pay him.
If I left the bar but I covered it over very loosely and no one can
and that's Dina, then you have to pay. In your property or outside your property?
It's on my property, but I covered over.
You have to pay. That's a bar, but that's a bar, but here it's not a bar. But that's Dina Shemayim. It's own property. Yeah. Well, assuming you have issues, then it's a body has to pay. But there's certain cases where you have to pay.
So does that mean that a Jew is asur to claim?
No, the many hold that since he has insurance, I'll tell you what, I hold in Allah, but many hold you could sue the insurance. Now his insurance is going to go up. You have to pay him the difference when the insurance goes up.
Uh-huh.
So this case in New York, so he gave the insurance, but they made him put money escrow that when the insurance goes up, it goes up just for a few years and goes back down. He's gonna have to pay the difference. Now the insurance company paid an enormous amount of money. The guy broke a hip, was unemployed. It was a tragedy. It wasn't a joke. He was laid up in the hospital, whatever. But the end result is he has to pay him because you're causing me loss. Your negligence. I someone sued the shul. So I'm very annoyed at the rabbi. So someone sued the shul, and he went to the mikveh, and now he's angry. But I told him that he's not allowed to come to the mikveh. He comes to the mikveh, and he wasn't careful, and he slipped and broke his shoulder. So he sued. So I told him, didn't the rabbi tell you? He didn't want to tell me the rabbi that you have to pay the shul. The insurance went up. Yeah, I have to pay. You know, he's one of these people that likes to take advantage. He never paid the shul. Now he's angry that we don't let him come to the mikveh.
Let him go to the mikveh, he can take his
pen. You know, this really happened in the mikveh. Somewhere in 6 o'clock in the mikveh, Sumai Schwartz. This happened to us and the neighbor about 20 years ago. Early in the morning, he went to the mikveh, and while he was traveling, someone stole his pants. He wanted to take his credit card, but then he noticed he's coming, so he just took his pants and walked out and left the building.
You should ask
your
spine security.
That's why we wear guy's
delivering a pizza, so if he runs a red light, it's the fault of the employer. He ran the red light, because it was he's working, and he
That's like Midas Adayim. Why should the boss be shielding that his pizza, how's it called, the pizza driver jumped the red light?
What's it got to do? He didn't tell him to jump the
red light. Right.
So he's working for him. So what? This is a million examples like that.
Right. Okay, let's just move on a little bit over here. You hurt someone even without intention. You paid him. It's a very amazing Gemara. You hurt someone, you hit the nail, you hurt someone without intention, and you paid him. You still have to ask for his forgiveness. You should forgive him. If he asks forgiveness, you should forgive him. But even he hurt him unintentionally, he has to ask for forgiveness. Very interesting to look at this. So someone once asked me this question. Let's say a guy was in a car accident and the guy lost a leg. So he paid him whatever the insurance paid him. The guy says, you know, losing a leg for me is worth $1 billion. I don't want to be Michael you. I don't want to forgive you. Without a leg, live without a leg. He has no right not to forgive him for that. The Torah says the value of a leg is whatever the value of the leg. The Shulchan Aruch says how he assessed it. Once he paid you, now you have to ask forgiveness for the pain. And you should forgive him. If he's sincerely asking forgiveness, you have to forgive him. You can't pull out the card and say, well, for me, without a leg, is worth a lot more money. You're not obligated to pay that. You understand? So you pay what the obligation is, and the guy, you ask for forgiveness, but you have to ask forgiveness with the real asking, you know, not just...
And then but if the guy did not pay you, on the other hand, you do not have any need to forgive.
I thought he's responsible to pay you. But then what loyal?
What do you mean?
The whole conversation we just had about the
heads
of the employer.
We're talking about a guy by mistake bumped into someone. He hurt him. So he paid him for his hezek. He hit someone with his car unintentionally. Paid him. Now he paid him, and the guy, it's not enough. He has to ask him for forgiveness. But a guy cannot pull out the card and say, I am not going to forgive you until you give me another $100,000. That's not. Okay. Stop over there, Lisa.